Welcome to the Friday lunch hour on Let's Talk Tottenham. Bournemouth game is coming up after the Manchester United game, and the Lionesses very unlucky, just falling short at the final hurdle in the Women's World Cup. A tremendous tournament, just unfortunately beaten by the better team. Luis Rabiel's refusing to step down and resigning as the president of the Spanish Football Association after kissing one of the players. I mean, for what it's worth, he shouldn't be resigning anyway. It should be taken out of his own hands and he should have been fired. Absolutely ridiculous. I can't see him lasting that job too long, to be perfectly honest and good. But fantastic result for Spurs against Man United. Madison is injured, though. Who replaces him? And then the Bournemouth game on Saturday. Tomorrow, 12:30, the early game. We're talking about all of that and much, much more. I'm afraid you've got me riding solo. You're stuck with me for the next hour or 45 minutes or however long we go on for. Please get involved in the chat. Get your questions and comments in. Who will replace Madison? Will we stick with Richarlison? What will the score be? All of this and your thoughts on the Manchester United game as well. And transfer window. Are we going to be signing anyone? Is anyone going to be leaving? Also, as well, please hit the like. Click subscribe if you haven't done so already. We're on the road to 350 now. And hit that notification bell. And, yeah, all your comments, questions into the comments section. So, let's get cracking. The United review. I was very lucky to be at this game, and a cracking game it was. Certainly after the second goal, the atmosphere was fantastic. I didn't do a show on Monday because I had a cold and a sore throat. Had the sore throat on Saturday morning. In my wisdom, decided to go and shout and scream and shout at Spurs for 90 minutes and couldn't feel my throat on Sunday and therefore on Monday as well. But wouldn't change that at all. What's the point, FC? How you doing, buddy? Thanks so much for getting involved in the chat. But yeah, United game. The first half, I thought, was fairly even. Fernandez probably needs to worry less about moaning to referees and learn about how to head a ball, because that was a chance that should have at least made Vicario make a save. Ballooned over. The penalty appeals, two of them. One each. The one against Romero, I'm not sure that was a penalty. I'm not sure he could have got out of the way. But if it was the other way round and it was one of our strikers hitting it against Maguire, for example, we'd be screaming for it in the same way that we were probably screaming for the one against Romero, or that Romero should have got. But if it was the other way round, we'd probably be saying it was a bit harsh. In the same way that we were saying against Brentford, the one that Son gave away was a bit harsh, I think it's exactly the same. So if that's a penalty, I think the Romero one was a penalty. The handball one against Romero, it's one of these. Some referees give it, some don't. I think if it is given, you can't really complain. If it's not given, you can understand why. But one apiece on that one, so it kind of cancelled each other out. But what's the point goes on to say. Got a few comments here. Thanks so much for your comments as well. Please keep them coming in. And everyone else, please get your comments in as well. Shocking how Levy continues to do the same thing for every transfer window. Very underwhelming transfer window. The same cheap standards. Think Spurs just highlighted how bad Man United are. And I predict Ten Hag won't last there long. He had a good season last season. They won one of the cups, didn't they? And then they were improving, getting closer to the Man Cities. But yeah, they were appalling against Wolves and appalling against us. And first half, relatively even, I thought. Rashford did have a headed chance, but that was offside, so it wouldn't have counted. But the way that the teams are able to just cross it in and get a free header worries me a little bit. Fernandes should have scored the penalty appeal, maybe. I was adamant as soon as Porro hit that shot that it was going in. Unfortunately, careened back off the bar, almost strangled the guy next to me. What's the point? Watched the first half, nearly fell asleep. It was so bad. Came alive in the second half. Shocking on the wings as Kulu and Son don't work. Although Kulu did set up the first goal there. Richie got no service. Do agree with that. He didn't have a single shot at goal. His hold-up play, though, Richie, I thought was quite good. Far, far better than it was against Brentford. And he's still learning as well, isn't he? We played all season last season with Harry Kane as the number nine. Him playing bit part play. Pieces in pre-season, predominantly Harry Kane as well. So he's still learning. And we've got to learn where Madison wants people to run so we can thread them through. And Madison needs to learn where people are going to run so we can thread them through. So I think give it a month or so if everyone can stay fit. I know Madison's injured at the moment, but thankfully it's not too serious. I think our attack could be a lot better. Kulu got lucky, had to get a pass on the outside down the flank because he couldn't take on a man to beat him on the outside. He did, though, use his right foot to cross it. Normally, he's left foot, cut inside, always left foot, did use his right foot. I think we've got to give him a bit of time. And, you know, he did set up a goal at the end of the day. But, yeah, like what's the point says, second half, we came alive. I thought Bissouma and Saar, unbelievable. But it was a pattern against Wolves, against Manchester United. Wolves midfield completely outran and outclassed their midfield. I think the issue is they've got Casemiro in there. He's the only defensive minded one. Fernandes and Mount, although Mount I completely forgot was playing until he got substituted, they want to go forward, so they leave him kind of exposed. And he was exposed against a Saar and a Bissouma. But then you've got Saar, Bissouma and Madison. Saar and Bissouma do the hard graft. Madison can go forward and do what Madison does. So I think we've got a real nice balance in the middle of that midfield with those three. And that's not including Bentancur, who will be coming back, or Skip or Højbjerg. So I think we've got a real good balance there. But yeah, at this moment in time, you cannot even contemplate taking Saar or Bissouma out of that team because they were absolutely superb. And Bissouma, I expect that, because we've seen what he's done at Brighton, and he's a top player. Don't get player of the season for a good team like Brighton 2 years in a row by being a bad player. So we knew what he could do. But Saar, only 20 years old, only a handful of games in English football, and just a real, real mature performance there. Deflection for Kulu's cross was, but Harry Kane scored many deflected goals in his time. So you've still got to get there, get the cross in and make the deflection. I think it was good play, good positive play. So I'd give Kulu another chance. Bissouma, Saar, Madison dominated their midfield, as with Wolves' midfield dominated their midfield. Mount was awful. 60 million, I think that was. And I think he's overrated at Chelsea. I know Chelsea fans who also think he's a little bit overrated. He's just gets given a big stature because he's the home kind of kid. But yeah, I don't really see where he fits in at Man United. And Saar, with those long strides, seems to find the ball so easily. I think with Bissouma, obviously, but Saar just very comfortable on the ball. And when you're under pressure, you will be under pressure because teams will close you down. And Bissouma just was surrounded by players. It looked like he had about 5 metres round him where no one was. The confidence and the composure and the calmness on the ball. And Saar wasn't far behind. And then Saar, both of them screaming into challenges, not rash challenges, getting the ball, not giving the other United a time to turn around. It was just superb in that second half. And that is infectious. That will go throughout the whole team. Udogi looks an absolute player. I think, again, that was only his second game in English football, and he was absolutely superb. Porro deserves a shout out. I've been saying, and was saying it last week, he cannot play right back. And he was superb as well. I mean, he had that shot which went off the bar. Very unlucky. But defensively, he was very good as well, I thought. Van de Ven looks like a player. Obviously, he's going to be tested a lot more in this season than he was against Manchester United. So the jury's still out on there. Romero seems to have calmed down. He's obviously got that extra responsibility now as the vice captain along with Madison. So he's got some seniority at the club and he's got to be a bit more mature. Hopefully Van de Ven and him can form a good partnership. Vicario, who I was umming and ahhing about, absolutely superb against Manchester United, certainly in that second half. At least two wonderful saves. And he just looked calm and collected whenever he was called upon. There was no, oh my God, what's he going to do? It was always, okay, see, he's there, that's fine. And that's what you want from a goalkeeper. You don't want someone who instills the fear of God into you as a fan of the defending team. And when you have that as well, that makes the defenders make rash challenges because they're not sure they can trust the goalkeeper. If you can trust the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper says, my ball, defenders will move out of the way. If you don't trust the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper says, my ball, defenders will make a decision. Is it his ball or is it mine? And that's when you get miscommunication. So hopefully we can keep all of those three fairly fit for the majority of the season. Vicario, Van de Ven, Romero. Hopefully we're bringing in another central defender, but I don't think that's very likely. Keep those three. That's good communication, and that will only stand us in good stead. Mason Mount, from what's the point? 30 million extra English tax for Mount. Udogi, a Rolls-Royce, Porro completely marshalled Rashford. Romero's passing was excellent. Seemed so calm before, beside VDV, not having to worry if Dyer or Davies was going to make a mistake. I think that's a very good point. He looks a lot calmer now that he only has to do his job. And with Porro on the right side as well, who's doing his job as well. There were times last season, I think, where Romero had to do his job, Dyer's job, and Emerson or Porro's job as well. And I mean, it stands to reason. You can completely understand that he got very stressed out and yeah, angered. But hopefully with this system and these players, it will be a lot calmer. And it's also, I think I've been saying this a while as well. Back in the Poch days when we had Dembele and Eriksen, when the going got tough, Dembele and Eriksen basically got on the ball for 5 minutes. All the momentum of the other team was quashed. And then we go again. And when we had the ball, they kept the ball for long, long, long periods. So the other team didn't really have a huge amount of possession. And I think we averaged around about 60% possession. Under Jose, Conte, Nuno, it was down to about 30%. And we weren't keeping the ball that long. So the defence are always kind of called upon. There's no long periods like there was under Poch where, okay, just keep your position, keep your line. We don't have to do a huge amount. Whereas now, I think with Bissouma and Saar, if they can carry on, Maddison as well, you've got at least two players there who are very adept to keeping the ball. And when the going gets tough, I think they can adapt to, let's just keep the ball for 5 minutes. And I think the defence will be not left alone, but they won't have that constant pressure, which we've seen with Van Dijk as well at Liverpool. With constant pressure, even the best get flustered and make mistakes. Porro looked more confident with Romero and VDV, looking calm, like they have a relationship already. I think that's the key for the defence. Form the relationships, and then that communication will just follow there, and the familiarity of playing together. But the one bad point, Maddison has got injured, seen walking off on crutches. Thankfully, it's not too serious. There's some debate whether he's going to play against Bournemouth or whether it's going to be Fulham or whether it's the next game, which I think is Burnley. I could be wrong there. Let me check on BBC Sport. But yeah, as long as he's not out for too long, I think that's good. He has had injury problems when he was at Leicester. So hopefully we don't get any of that ourselves. Because he is a top player and he is playing really well at the moment. Yeah, Burnley away is the game after Fulham. So if he only misses two games, one of them is the cup, that's okay. Although the cup, I think two cups this year, if we can get a good draws and a bit of luck, I can't see any reason why we can't win a cup. We haven't got European football, so the games are weekend to weekend rather than weekend, weekday, weekend, weekday. Extra time on the training pitch for Ange and work on tactics. And players are more vested. So I think Fulham away, although Fulham are a good team, they're not unbeatable. I think we can go there and get a result. I can't imagine either Ange playing a weak side in most of the cup games. I mean, I know this is midweek, so this may be the only one, and there may be a few like that, but we don't have to fit them around Europe as well. So I think one off like this one is, because after this, then we'll be weekend to weekend again. I think you can afford to play your top team. I'd be very surprised if Ange shakes it up too much in terms of a completely different team for this Fulham game. But we'll come on to the Fulham in a later episode. Maddison was brilliant because of the way he kept the ball in the opposition final third. Absolutely driving forward, pinging the ball. I mean, his passing in the final third, crossing was all over the place. That will be a one-off. That will be a one-game off. The next game he plays, if he gets into those positions, those crosses won't be going amiss. He's too good to be doing that consistently. And yeah, I think... I mean, who replaces him? You've obviously got some contenders there. You've got Lo Celso, although he's come out and allegedly said he's not happy with Ange because he's been frozen out. So if he does come in, then, you know, perfect opportunity to prove Ange wrong, that he shouldn't be freezing him out and he should be included. I wouldn't be too averse. It might be controversial, certainly from what's the point viewpoint. Put Solomon on the right and stick Kulu in the middle. Give him the kind of free role. But yeah, I mean, there's a few options there, but we don't have anyone of Madison's quality with a creativity, let's face it. So that's something we need to address. But I don't think we're going to be buying any more players, unfortunately, this transfer window. We've got, what, 6 days left? Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be getting anyone, which slightly annoying. We've got a good first 11, I think. But if we get a few injuries, then I think... And obviously, we've got the Harry Kane money. Harry Kane, top player. Haven't replaced him. I've said before, say again, I think Richarlison until January. And if it's working, keep Richarlison in there. Maybe get someone as a backup. If it's not working, we'll go get Ivan Toney from Brentford. That's what I think. Ivan Toney would be a good replacement as well. Big, strong, got an eye for goal. Good with penalties. So... But anyone you get, unless you get Haaland, isn't a Kane replacement. And even then, Haaland's a completely different striker. The only thing you do get with Haaland that you get with Kane is the guaranteed number of goals. But yeah, with Madison injured, I mean, who would you have in place of Madison? Let's say he is out for the Bournemouth and Fulham games. And it's very important for a player of his quality. Do not rush him back. It's the same with Bentancur when he comes back. Make sure he's ready to come back. We can't afford another big injury to Bentancur. We can't afford a big injury to Madison. So who would you have coming? It's either Lo Celso or Kulusevski. I mean, I wouldn't be upset with either or, because I think Lo Celso, you want to be in the team. You've got to make your mark. And you can only make your mark by playing. So if he comes in, hopefully he'll have the correct attitude. I want to show him, don't sell me, don't freeze me out, utilise me. This is my chance. Or Kulu, not quite working on the wing. But then if he is playing poor Kulu, you can't just fit him into the team and just leave him in. So I do agree with, if Kulu's has another bad game against Bournemouth, if he plays, I think maybe try Solomon, try someone else. And that says to Kulu, you can't have a situation where players are playing poorly, but they still stay in the team. That gets them comfortable. I think that happened with a few players. Obviously, Harry Kane is slightly different because he has to be, because he is world-class, and he was the only world-class player we had, other than Son. But yeah, players like Kulu who aren't that world-class level, you've got to take them out, drop them, rest them, whatever you want to call it, and then tell them, show me I was wrong to drop you. It happened in Kulu's first season. I can't remember who he was dropped against. Came on. It might have been for the first half against Leicester. Came on in the second half against Leicester and absolutely killed them. So you need that kind of attitude. And you need and with Solomon, he's joined us. You can't have him thinking, I'm only playing if players get injured here. If players are playing bad, I'm still not getting in because they're still going to play. So, yeah, what's the point? Lo Celso will mostly likely fill in for Madison. Scored a couple of goals in preseason. Was very good in preseason, by all accounts. Scored a couple of lovely goals. I'd like to see him get given a chance. I wrote him off at the start of preseason. Just get rid of him. But he has impressed me in preseason, so everyone deserves a second chance. And he played well for Villarreal. I think it was Villarreal last year on loan. Kulu has had too many chances. Think he's garbage for this system. Should never have been bought. That's a fair point. I think he's still young. He can adapt. But I do agree, if he has a bad game against Bournemouth, if he plays, or a bad half, 60 minutes, whatever, I think you've then got to say, OK, you've had your chances. Let's try Solomon or Porro. and fight your way back in. And as long as Solomon or Poro, whoever come in, do their job and force their way in. And Solomon was one of our best players in preseason, a much better winger than Kulu and Son. I mean, you've brought him in. He's played well in preseason. It doesn't really make sense to not give him a chance at some point. And if players aren't playing well, I still think Kulu did well for the goal. I know it got deflected and everything like that, but he still made the run for whoever it was. Not sure who it was to find him. And yeah, it got deflected. And the goal obviously had a lot to do with Sarr wanted it more than whoever the Manchester United defenders and midfielders were there. They were kind of static. Sarr was the only one moving. And he deserved his goal in that game. Absolutely fantastic. Mature performance. Had everything. Aggression. Athleticism. Breaking play up. Passing. Killer instinct with that goal. Had absolutely everything. Sarr, what a player we have there. What a player. And if you can form a good partnership with Maddison and Bissouma, and they don't get injured, Bentancur's got a real problem in trying to get back in that team. But that's what you want. You want competition. You want the competition. And Son clearly being played as a marketing ploy. I think it's his last season with us and he'll be off next season. Very possibly. But I still think there were elements where Son was taking people on against Manchester United, which is what you want from Son. And I still think once whoever those front three are, Richarlison, Son, Kulu at the moment, whoever those front three are, when Maddison and them get their communication sorted and where to run and everything like that, I think we'll see a lot more different attack. And I think Son and the other wide player will get the ball very, very quickly, like we used to do with Eriksen. Obviously, Son's probably lost a little bit of pace. I still think he's fairly quick. And then you've got Udogi, Emerson, Poro, whoever it is on that side as the wing-backs as well. But Bournemouth, let's talk about Bournemouth. Kind of gone under the radar a little bit. I still don't really understand the thinking of sacking Gary O'Neill. I thought he did wonderfully last year. First job in management. First job in management and guided them to safety. Losing 3-1 away to Liverpool. I mean, come the end of the season, you might end up be saying that that's not a bad result, 3-1 at the end of the season, because Liverpool are going to generally beat most teams at Anfield, I would have thought. One more thing with Son. Son keeps cutting in on the inside, so predictable. That's not Andrew's style. He wants forwards to get round the back of defenders. I don't know too much about his style, to be honest, so I can't really comment on that. But if that's what he wants and we're not doing it, then that's fair enough. Gary is not a sexy name. There'll be some Garys watching this who are absolutely furious with that comment. So they got some Spanish manager that I've never heard of. I'm not sure who the manager is as well. Let me just check. Shouldn't have done my research, but, you know, very amateur. And Ronny Andoni Iraglio. I've completely butchered that, but. But yeah, Liverpool away, they're not going to get a result there. Most teams aren't going to get a result there. West Ham at home. I'm not sure about West Ham, whether that's going to be a good result or a bad result come the end of the season. I'm not sure which West Ham are going to turn up, but fairly even. I mean, they had a lot of possession, Bournemouth, 63%, and 14 shots to West Ham, 16. So a fairly even game there, probably highlighted by the 1-1. Another home game against Spurs. I think that the clean sheet that we got against Manchester United, I think, was huge. You got two brand new defenders. And Romero isn't new, but he's playing with a new centre-back partner. Udogi's new. So you've got two-thirds of a new back line there, if you include the goalkeeper. You don't want the first 5-10 games conceding goals. You want a clean sheet early. And not only was it a clean sheet, they all earned their stripes there. Van de Ven cutting things out. Vicario making wonderful saves. Will do him the world of good confidence-wise. Same with the others. And in terms of looking back at those saves, the defenders will be thinking, okay, if they do get around the back of us, we've got a goalkeeper who's top notch. I think that could be huge this season, the clean sheet early on against Manchester United, and one that we had to earn as well. I think that could be a very good thing. In terms of West Ham are looking very compact. I can see them doing fairly well this season. They're spending the vice money wisely, and I think they'll probably buy some more as well. I don't think their spending has ended. But Solanke up top. You know, he's a good striker. He set one up, scored the other. I mean, they took the lead at Anfield after 3 minutes, but sometimes when you take the lead away from home or against the top teams early on, all you really do is kind of anger them and then you sit back a bit more. They still had 13 shots at Anfield. Obviously, 65% possession to Liverpool, and they had double the shots, which you'd expect. I'd expect us to go and beat Bournemouth away. But that doesn't mean that we beat Bournemouth away at all. It's just, I'd expect us to be professional, have the majority of the possession. We're having the majority of the possession under Ange now, keeping the ball much better. I'd expect us to create a lot of chances. Hopefully we can get one to Vichy. Every goalkeeper needs a game like that to help bed in. West Ham are about to sign Kudus of Ajax, a very good player. It's just a pity that they're the proactive ones in the transfer window. We're not when we've got 80-odd million or 100 million or whatever it was for our star player. But there we go. Bournemouth, I'd expect us to go there and win. I'd certainly expect us to go there and score and make a game of it. But Bournemouth possibly see it as nothing to lose. They would have seen the Anfield game as nothing to lose, and then we can go and win the West Ham game. But yeah, just hope. I don't think Maddison will play. I think how key he is to us, I don't think there's going to be any chances taken with him. Even if he's 99.9% okay to play, there's still that 0.1 and we've got to rest him. Possibly come on for the last 25 minutes against Fulham, depending on how the result is going. But I'd expect him to start against Burnley. And yeah, I think it's probably a bit too early for this Bournemouth game. See what Lo Celso can do or whoever plays in there. I'd still expect us with Sarr and Bissouma doing what they're doing. If they do the same as they did against Manchester United in that second half, we will get chances to break and be creative. And he can pass the ball, Lo Celso. He obviously likes to drive forward rather than, you know, dictate the play. But if you've got the fast wingers and everything like that, I still think we'll create chances. And then that leads us to the top guy, Richarlison. Is he still the main man up top? For me, I don't think you can really judge that Manchester United game because he said it himself. He didn't have a single chance given to him. Talking about Maddison, I think we're terrible in the final third, only for Maddison, who's a bright light up there. I think with the attacking play, I think there'll be a lot more space to be able to exploit stuff, certainly with Bissouma and Sarr marshalling that midfield. Well, I hope so anyway. Richarlison didn't really get a chance. His hold-up play, I thought, was superb compared to the Brentford game. Getting the ball back to goal, holding it up, waiting for people to come out, shipping it wide or left, getting into the box. That's what you want from a striker. I thought that was superb. He'll always run. He'll always try. He'll always give 100%. So I'd give him another chance. So if he starts having chances, snatches at them and misses them, okay, then maybe stick Son up there and give him a chance. I'd give Richarlison a chance. Interesting to know what you think about that. In terms of Son Kulu, they're ruining our progression going forward. I think Son's always going to play because he's our captain, whether that's a PR stunt, I can't remember what it was called by what's Point FC earlier. Let me check. Where was the comment? Where was the comment? Well, I've just lost it. But it was definitely there. It was... A marketing ploy. There we go. Marketing ploy. I didn't do very well filling the silence there. But it, whether it's a marketing ploy, having him as captain, I'm not sure. I still think he's got a lot to offer us. I still think he just hasn't got going. And remember, you know, Harry Kane took ages to get going. In August, he never got going. And we never talked about dropping him. So I think Son will come good. He's too good a player to not come good. Still learning the system. And Maddison said it in his interview with Laura Woods, who, you know, just needs to start being a bit unbiased when she's talking to Spurs people or about anything. We know you're an Arsenal fan. We know you don't like Spurs. That's fine. Just talk to a Spurs player. But anyway, and Ali McCoist saying that, you know, the managers, the majority of the squad have had about 3-4 years of playing really defensive football. And they've now got to switch to attacking football. It's going to take a little bit of time. So I would give Kulu and Son the chance in this game, along with Richarlison. If Kulu, Son start not playing again, I think it's very difficult with Son, I think, because he's the captain. Certainly Kulu, if he doesn't live up to par, I think Fulham game, try something else. Burnley game, try something else. Try and fire him up that way. Son, I mean, regardless if he's captain, if he keeps not playing well and doesn't score goals, then you've got to do that as well. But Charleston, I think you can't really judge him about not scoring goals if he's not having any chances. When he's having the chances or getting chances, if he's scoring them, fine, keep him up there. If he's not, may have to think about something else. Kulu was not credited with an assist against Man United. It was a bad deflection. Deflection only happened because he put the ball in. So really, it was an assist. Yeah, if someone scores a goal and it's going on target, hits a deflection, takes it away from the goalkeeper's hands over the goal, they get considered given the goal, but they haven't scored that goal. The goal has been scored by the deflection. So not credited officially with an assist. He got the assist for me because without his cross there, it wouldn't have got deflected. I'd love for Charleston to start firing real shots, but he looks like he's under too much pressure. Needs to drop more deep like Kane used to because he wasn't getting the ball. That's a fair point. Whether he does, obviously he's not a Kane-type player. He hasn't got that passing range. And he may be being told by Ange, just stay up top. We're going to try and work it around and get you the chances. Can't see Son Kulu working against the harder teams. Do hope Son will come good. Should never have been made captain for me. Who would you have had as captain? Would it have been Maddison, Romero, someone else? Interesting to know that. I mean, the way he's playing at the moment, Bissouma. I always quite like the midfielder or the defender being captain. I'm not a fan of goalkeeper, not a fan of the striker or forward. Romero, at the time, I wouldn't have made captain just because he's too rash. But if he can carry on like he is at the moment, I don't see any problem with him being captain. And he might like the extra responsibility. Maddison, I think, is a leader anyway. So I think natural choice for captain. But yeah, what's the point, FC? Interesting. Who would you have as captain now? Okay. We talked about it slightly, but let's talk about it a bit more in depth. Romero, Van de Ven, Vicario, the partnership. Fantastic partnership. Absolutely superb against Man United, certainly in that second half. In terms of captain, what's the point? FC says, I think Bissouma looks like a good captain, leading by example. I think Romero would be our future defender. He's not rash with a calm defender who knows what he's doing beside him. Yeah. I totally agree with that. I'm quite surprised. But then as you've seen in this season, it does make sense that he had to do three people's jobs last season. So the rashness probably came from a lot of frustration. Maddison can control the tempo of a game, as can Bissouma, so any of them would do as captain. You need captains throughout the pitch as well. So now we kind of have a bit of a spine back again. We got Romero as captain material. Bissouma, Madison, maybe Son. So we've got a bit of a spine again. You need more than one captain on the pitch, I think, anyway. But yeah, that partnership at the back, it would have done no harm at all with that clean sheet against Man United. Certainly with Vicario doing what Vicario did with his saves, obviously gives a lot of, I would have thought, a lot of confidence to Van de Ven and Romero going, okay, we've got a goalkeeper we can depend on here if they do get round the back. Didn't have a huge amount to do, but what he did very well, and not a huge amount to do. Obviously, Manchester United were terrible, certainly in that second half. Although we did let Anthony, you know, we stepped off of him a little bit, and then on another day, that shot off the post goes into the corner. So we've got to be careful of that. But on the whole, I thought Van de Ven and Romero were very good. Obviously, early days in their partnership, so that can only get better and better and better. When we had Vertonghen and Alderweireld, they'd known each other since kids, pretty much. So they knew each other inside out. So it didn't need a lot of time on the training pitch for them to understand each other's game, because they knew that inside out before they even joined us. But if we can get something similar to that, or similar to King and Dawson, I think we've got a real good partnership there. I would like to see another defender in. I don't think that's going to happen. And let's see. And the amount of pressure on our defence under Conte, because our week two man midfield did not help things. It's what I mentioned earlier with Basuma keeping the ball, Madison keeping the ball. I think that will help that no end. Last year, 30% possession, defence constantly under pressure because we couldn't keep the ball. Best defenders in the world would have looked silly under Conte last season as our two man midfield kept collapsing. Yeah, I if only we had Basuma last year, hey. I was so excited when we got Basuma. He's a midfielder who can do everything really, really well, and we're seeing that this season. And then when he gets the confidence, he does the flicks and the little shuffles and the dribbles without losing the ball. I think he could be absolutely huge this season. He was injured quite a lot last season, let's be fair to Conte on that respect. But yeah, the way he played him defensively and just give the ball away. You want a Basuma to keep the ball because he can keep the ball, and then give it when it's right to someone who can do more stuff with it. And he's got a good shot on him, Basuma, as well. We've seen that in a Brighton shirt. I think Poro, Romero, VDV, Udogie all have pace enough to track back if we get in trouble. It was the crosses, the free headers that worried me a little bit, and the Anthony shot where we backed off him. We blame Dier for backing off, which is correct. At some point, you've got to close them down. You've got to engage. And I don't know who it was, but no one engaged him, and he had a free shot, essentially, and should have done better, but hit the post. Got to be careful of that. Better teams will exploit that. But yeah, good partnership with those three. Hopefully it can continue. Hopefully no injuries. It was good that Romero's obviously okay after his concussion. Ange did absolutely fantastically there. Absolutely the right thing. If he had have had medical advice, don't play him, he would not have played. Ange wouldn't have risked him. And that's good. So hopefully they can form a good partnership. And hopefully it is the calming influence in defence that Romero needs, and then we can see the Romero that we saw with Argentina and at Atlanta before. I think every player was shackled under Conte. Glad Conte's gone now, as he never fit in here because Levy is so cheap. Absolutely. It was a bit of a ridiculous appointment. Conte wins things if you get him the players you want, and then we go and get a player that has that, and we a manager, sorry, that has that, and we don't get him the players that he wants. It was always a recipe for disaster. We're screwed at set pieces. No issue with us needing to track back and clean up. It's corners and free kicks that worry me. Do we still have that? We won't have that coach that we had last season with the corner and free kick coach, because that was one of Conte's guys. But yeah, I'm sure it will improve. I don't think Ange is stupid. I think if we're consistently conceding chances there, he will practice that. And like I said, with no Europe, we get extra time on the training pitch rather than have 2 days on the training pitch generally and then a day of tactics. We now get about 4 or 5 days on the training pitch and then tactics for the rest of the day. Levy gets manager. I need to turn around and not give him ready-made quality players to help him win things. Absolutely. I think the Jose one was even more ridiculous. You bring him in to win things, you get in the cup final, and then sack him the day 6 days before. Pointless bringing him in. Don't understand that at all. But yeah, before we get onto the game predictions, transfers in and out. I put question mark. I was watching Sky Sports News before I came on. I don't know, 10 players, maybe slightly less, that are available for transfer or to leave. None of them have gone so far. So Eric Dier, Sanchez, Spence, Højbjerg, who Atletico were interested. We said if it's for the right price, so I assume Levy has priced them out. If Ange doesn't want them in, get them out. Doesn't matter if you lose 5-10 million, you're making all of that money on Guns N' Roses, Lady Gaga, American football, and all the rest of it. Get them out. Who else? Brian Hill. He won't go anywhere because he's injured and had groin surgery. So you can understand that people aren't willing to take the risk on that. I can understand that. Maybe in January. I can't remember who the others were. Reguilón. But if we get rid of Reguilón, I worry about our cover for left back. I don't think we've got a huge amount of people there. But yeah, a lot of players wanted to get out. We're always told we need players out before we get in. Does that mean that Van de Ven, Kulusevski, Porro was all Kane money spent? That's the line they'll probably tell us. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I don't think we're going to be selling many players here. Unfortunately, and therefore I don't think many players will come in. Brian Hill, he'll be a brilliant player under Ange, but only the future will tell. I'm not sure how long he's out for. Obviously groin surgery, that's not going to be a quick fix because he's going to have to recover. But I mean, he does take people on, doesn't he, and out wide and whip the ball in, have a shot, so that does make sense. But we need to get players out because we've got, I don't know, a 30-odd man squad. You're only allowed to register 25. We've got all of these players over 21, which means they can't be registered for free. They have to be registered. So we can't just fit all of these people in. I'm surprised that some of these players aren't actually trying to leave, being that they're either going to be frozen out and not going to be able to play if they don't leave. And, yeah, unfortunately, looking like outgoing players will be going on loan. Again, we need to get rid of these, you know, even if it's cut price, at least they're out, you know, and Ange can work with the players that are still there. Not sure how many players you're allowed to have. I think it's 25. Yeah, it's 25. If they're under 21 at a certain age, at a certain time, I'm not sure when that is, they don't have to be registered. They can just play. So if you had 50 players who are 20, they wouldn't need to be registered and they could play. Anyone who's over 21 has to be registered and you're only allowed 25 registered players. But yeah, it would just be loans again. Alfie Devine's gone on loan to Port Vale. I thought he might have been a championship club, but at least he's going to get first team football. Top, top player, top, top prospect. Dane Scarlett, if he's going to play, keep him in. If not, get him out on loan. Get him some first team football. A lot of the other youngsters as well. Harvey White, I'm not sure if he's on loan. Alfie Whiteman, Brandon Austin. Is it Alfie Dorrington? Dorrington's certainly the surname, but a top-rated defender. But yeah, I agree with this as well. For me, we have the perfect manager to mould 19 to 20-year-olds, certainly attacking ones. But hopefully this means that, you know, Devine going out means that Ange is here to stay, not just for one or two seasons. But we all know football isn't like that. If the results go badly, then you generally get shown the door. And yeah, and again here, thought Alfie Devine looked brilliant in pre-season. Scarlett looked so tall and bulked up. He took his goal against, I think it was Shakhtar, superbly. Proper confidence strike, that is. If you're not confident, you don't even think about swiveling and hitting it on one motion. You look for taking an extra touch and then probably get cut off by the defender or it gets blocked. So I was hoping he'd play a part this season, but we need to take some people out. Eric Dier, I like Eric Dier as a person. Unfortunately, just not good enough. So yeah, Eric Dier, Reguilón, I'm not sure about him. Højbjerg. If he wants to go, let him go. Lloris as well. As said, he wanted a new challenge at the end of last season. Lazio offered him a new challenge. He turns it down. So I'm not really sure what new challenge he's after. But he isn't going to be our first team goalkeeper, is he? So fantastic. Best goalkeeper I've seen in my lifetime at Spurs, Hugo Lloris. Certainly in the Premier League era. Certainly in terms of longevity, but it's time for him to go now. So we need to ship these players out, not just loans. We need to get some money for them. I want to tap Sober in or another top quality centre-back. This Gift Auburn seems to be another one of these transfer sagas going on and on and on and on and on. Either go get him for 30 million or just leave it. But Mitrovic will go to Saudi Arabia and then Fulham will swoop in and go get him because they'll be willing to pay it. So that's what will happen with that. But if you want these players, just go get them. You've got 86 million for Harry Kane. You know, the extra money that we spent for the players before, you're going to make that back in the season from your extra football. You know, we've got the F1 track coming as well, you know, which will be charged to people to use. Skywalk, NFL, you have all these gigs and everything. But it's just Daniel Levy, isn't it? Yeah, proper striker's goal against Shakhtar. Scarlett looked like a beast. Dyer needs to become a fireman. Lloris is a strange one. Lazio won't guarantee him first spot as goalkeeper. Oh, right, okay, so you can maybe understand why he rejected them. Surprised the Premiership club hasn't come in for him. It's a shame Hugo wasn't given a top-quality defence work behind with the last 4 years. I mean, yeah, he was superb, wasn't he, with the Vertonghen, Rose Walker, Alderweireld. But it was after he won the World Cup the first time. He got done for drink driving. He's never really been the same since. Auburn, for me, would be an insult to the fans. We need to get Ivan Toney, Osimhen, Vlahovic or Mitrovic. We ain't getting Vlahovic because he wants Champions League football. Osimhen will be too expensive. Mitrovic, he wants to go to... he's just a mercenary. Ivan Toney, I think, what's the point, said Brentford value of about 80 million. I think we can knock that down, certainly, if he wants to go. But he would be a good player. Kolo Frankfurt got 19 goals, 14 assists last season, valued at 80, perfect for Ange's system. But again, unfortunately, Levy is not going to sanction that, I don't think. And again, why do you bring in a manager with a certain system and then not give him the players that he needs for those systems? But anyway, Bournemouth, game predictions. Again, I know we kept a clean sheet and we all looked good. That certainly in the second half, but I just don't have any confidence yet of consistent clean sheets. So I think both teams will score. Apparently, Ivan Toney wants to go to Liverpool and Man United. Certainly, if Salah goes, he wouldn't be a bad one there, although Klopp has said that Salah's not going anywhere. Man United have just got their new striker, so I can't see them buying another one without giving him a chance. If they don't bid for him and we do and he wants to leave, then either he comes to us or he stays at Brentford. But yeah, game predictions. I don't have the confidence at the moment that we'll keep back-to-back clean sheets. So I think we'll win, but I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet. I'm not going to give a score prediction. Too cowardly for that. Too much tempting fate. Spurs stress me out enough as it is without money being involved. But what are your score predictions for the Bournemouth game? And if we're not going to sign a top experienced striker, I'd rather stick with Richie until he gets over his mental block and give Scarlett and Al, I can't remember his surname, the new guy that we signed, a chance, although I'm sure Ange said he probably won't play that much this season. But certainly Scarlett, I think Richarlison will definitely be the main striker going forward. And then if he starts getting chances and misses them, then there might be a rethink about that. How you doing, Bobby K? And what's the point, FC? 3-1 to Spurs. I'm probably leaning along those lines of one goal against, but then winning the game. But yeah, it'd be very, very... I think we'll win. I think we'll score. It's just keeping it out the other end. I think it'll be a fairly end-to-end game. Not an end-to-end game, but chances both ends. But if we can get Basuma and Saar playing like they did against Man United, certainly that second half, I think stand us in very, very, very good stead. And what's the point? He goes on to say, I want so much from Richarlison to start firing, but he looks too serious for me. He needs to lighten up and enjoy his football. Probably is under pressure, you know. They're very big shoes to fill, Harry Kane's, and maybe he does feel that pressure. But he always struck me, Richarlison, as someone who wants to be the main man, wants that pressure. I mean, I can understand his frustration a little bit after the United game, because we played really well, created a lot of chances. He just didn't get a sniff, but he was making the runs and making the effort. So keep making the effort and making the runs, he'll get some chances. Bobby K, very, very enthusiastic. 4-0 tomorrow. I'm not sure. Yeah. Vicario masterclass. VDV Romero going to be Vertonghen and Alderweireld 2.0. That would be good, wouldn't it? If we can get somewhere near that level in central defence again. Richarlison looks like he has the weight of the world in his shoulders. I do think as soon as Richarlison gets a goal, that weight will completely fall off and then he'll be much, much more relaxed. The pre-season, I can't remember who it was against when he got his hat-trick. The third goal, drawing the keeper out, dinking it over him. Confident player. An unconfident striker doesn't do that. They smash it. Get a couple of goals and I think he'll be well on his way to looking confident and looking a different player again. Son and Richarlison are not providing properly. It's being left to Maddison. But then, you know, last season it was being left to Kane. So Maddison is essentially just replacing Kane. But we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, pretty much reached the end here. That's the Friday lunch hour. Pretty much done. Thanks to Bobby K and What's the Point FC for your comments. Really, really appreciate it. One more. Richarlison, so unlucky. Just needs the ball to go in off his arse or something like that. He needs a few easy goals. Yeah, a nice tap in would do him the world of good. And then it wouldn't surprise you if he gets a bullet header or something from long range. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for the comments. Please hit the like, subscribe, notification bell if you haven't done so already. Also do the same on Chris's Magic. That's Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Not live. It just drops at that time. Magic tricks, short magic tricks, and the odd tutorial here or there. So check that out. And yeah, be back on Monday with Monday Night Fan Zone, hopefully celebrating a win. And Bobby K, sorry, so late, buddy. You're not late. You're still here for the show. So don't worry about that. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend yourself. Hopefully Spurs give you the 4-0 and us the 4-0 that we want. And what's the point? On a positive, we're playing beautiful football in places, even though Ange has only had them a couple of months. Absolutely. Give it another month or so. It will be like clockwork going forward, I think. Latest dude, thank you to you as well. I really appreciate all your comments in the chat for this stream. But yeah, Monday Night Fan Zone will be back 7:30 p.m. UK time over here on YouTube. Check that out. Always much better after a Spurs win. Let's hope we can get that. And in the meantime, as always, come on, you Spurs. Thanks so much for watching, for everybody who joined in the live chat and added comments. Before you go, please leave a like and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, please hit that notification bell. That'll give you a notification every time we're about to go live, and it's all completely free. For those who missed the live show, you can catch this whenever you want on Let's Talk Tottenham's YouTube channel. Please also hit the like, subscribe and notification bell. And everybody, please leave feedback, comments, suggestions in the comments section. Those of you who listen to the audio podcast, thank you so much for listening. Anyone who wants that audio podcast, you can pick that up wherever you get your podcast from. We're back Mondays, 7:30 p.m. UK time, and Fridays, 12:30 p.m. UK time. Alternatively, if you go to Twitter, at Let's Talk Tottenham, Instagram, Let's Talk Tottenham Podcast, you can find all the information there. Anyone who wants something a little bit different, also do a magic show. So I do one trick a week, which drops Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Chris's Magic on YouTube is where you'll find that. But in the meantime, come on, you Spurs.